The GAA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power. For exclusive content from their GAA ambassadors and other high-profile contributors, check out news.paddypower.com.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I should go, and so I opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
Ireland champions, lads. So 45 years of heart. Bit of Sean South from Gary Owen played for you on the way in there. 1974, 1980, 1994, 1996, 2007. All the bad memories gone. And Limerick are all Ireland champions. And they nearly, they nearly fucked it up. they nearly conspired
but
to
they
do
didn't,
it.
They didn't.
Thank God, in fairness for them. Because that would have been a complete disaster. But it was an incredibly dramatic ending to the game.
But they're probably too much up with too much time to go and didn't really know how to go win the game. You know, that kind of way. They hung on. But then, look, you have to give credit to Galway as well. Like, they're defending champions, and they went down actually swinging as well. Like, you know, the last 8 minutes, you're probably saying, when it went to 70 minutes, you're probably saying, yeah, Limerick have this. But with the 8 minutes in the time, Galway just took over. Went for
that
goals.
Was the thing.
It was crazy. Like, it just decided to go for goals and got a couple of. Like, the first 70 minutes didn't look like scoring goal whatsoever. Like, they weren't even near the goal. They weren't taking shots at the goal. But then, the last 8 minutes, they decided to go for it and did not to lose and just turned the shackles off and went for it. But
yeah, it was a huge game. But that was the thing, Damien, because Shane Dowling gets that goal in 68 minutes and that's the end of it. It was a one sided, convincing win for Limerick. And then all of a sudden, 8 minutes goes up on the board and the Limerick crowd take a gasp and the Galway crowd cheered. And it was the 8 minutes going up was almost like a score or a goal for Galway. That was the way it kind of came about.
Yeah, and the thing about it was, people were saying, like, where did 8 minutes come out? But people had actually kind of forgotten that James Skell had gone down injured, and he was on the ground for a long time, you know. And then there's 30 seconds then for every substitution. So when the 8 minutes was up, even in the stands, it was like the Galway fans were like going, "Geez, we can do this, you know, or we could." And next thing, Whelan got the goal, which gave us a lifeline. You know, but the truth was, Colin, you know, and it would have been an injustice if Galway beat Limerick. Limerick were on top for an awful long period that game. They looked very comfortable. They had an awful lot of wides. But Galway realistically really only hurled for 10 minutes. And it was the last 10. And nearly won the All-Ireland, or maybe even, nearly snatched the draw or whatever. But just on the day, Galway didn't hurl well. And Limerick did, and they deserved their win, being honest. And as you said, you felt sorry for Limerick if they absolutely blew it. Jeez, you know, on a natural level. But Galway didn't hurl well yesterday. They never got to the level that they needed to get to.
Yeah, so John Kiley was interviewed on the pitch afterwards. And, like, you know, all this kind of talk when he was a bit like the Anthony Daly speech, which was, you know, spine tingling. And John Kiley was talking about, we've always been the bridesmaids coming up here, and no longer are we. And just the crowd cheered behind. And I've never been. Croke Park was rocking yesterday. Yeah. Now, we'll talk about the wides, because they deflated what was could have been the most unbelievable atmosphere. Because in the parade, it was deafening. I've never heard noise like that in the parade. Now, parade's always kind of loud, but there was something. This felt extra, but I think the wides did kind of knock the momentum out of them, a little bit. But then the last 10 minutes brought it all back. And then the final whistle goes, Zombie comes on, the Tannoy, John Kiley's interviewed, and like the emotion of looking down at the field. Like, I felt emotional as a Leash man looking at it.
I was on the field as well, just kind of look around, and I got, when the song came on, the whole stadium just stood up, like it absolutely erupted, like, you know. And as the same as yourself, Willie, I got emotional as well just looking around. I actually was looking out at the players, but then when the song came on, I just turned around and looked at the supporters. Everyone to a man, where it's a man, woman, child, yeah, all standing up cheering it. That's a memory they'll have for the rest of their life.
Yeah. So I'm glad you got emotional, because I was out two nights before. I thought it was the hangover. I thought I was just emotional, but yeah, it was incredible to watch. Now, Damien, obviously you wouldn't have felt anything like this being a Galway man, but you know, the scenes, even still, you know, you could probably appreciate it. It was like last year.
Of course. And as I said, I done an interview with the Sunday game was after match with Kieran Carey. You couldn't begrudge Limerick, you know. And you used to be slagging me, saying that, you know, I had a big headache with Limerick, that they used to be annoying me with the way they hurled. But the truth was, I knew they were better than what they were showing, you know. And John Kiley, I suppose, came in as manager, and he went with a lot of the youth. So he just, but yesterday, I just thought the energy levels of the Limerick players from the very start was incredible. I thought their work rate was unbelievable. Only did they miss so many points, especially in the first half. I think they would have been way ahead of Galway even at half time. So, and they won so many of the individual battles. But they basically, where was the game won and lost, Colin? They won the game in the middle eight. Especially in the first half, they were all over Galway in the start. Like Kyle Hayes, 4 points from play, and I reckon he missed 3 or 4 more wides. So he did, you know. The midfield were completely on top, and in the Limerick half back line were completely on top. But the celebrations, they deserve it. I'm not going to begrudge Limerick their win. It's 5 different winners in hurling in the last 6 years, which is absolutely incredible. Hurling is in a great place in Ireland compared to football, because I think Dublin will win the football again, and it's all just Dublin. But it was just brilliant, and well done to Limerick, and fair bloody play to them. That's all I can say.
Well, it is fair bloody play to them, and it's basically, for me, it's been the best ever championship, because there's been more games and there's been more classics. So instead of them being the bridesmaids in other championships, they go and win the hardest one ever won. Yeah,
and also, Colin, you have to remember, right? And you know, it's hard enough to win in All Ireland, as we all know, right? Okay, but they beat Galway to come out of Division One, as we call it. They beat Cork, Kilkenny, they beat Tipperary, and they beat Galway to win in Ireland.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
They deserve it. That's phenomenal. You know, it's like when we won our very first county championship with Portumna, we beat Athenry, Clarenbridge, and Loughrea. Just right, they were the top teams in Galway at the time. No one could ever deprive us our first year when we won our county final. And this is the same with Limerick. Limerick beat Galway twice this year, and they were in 2 big finals. And like, even when they won the Division 1B, as we call it, there was massive celebrations there. It's been a massive year for Limerick hurling, and they got everything spot on this year. And you don't beat Cork the way you beat Cork and not have character in your team and have momentum, and it proved.
Yeah, exactly. I thought Joe was going to get that free at the end. I really did, because the way he played the second half, scored 1-10, the goal, that was phenomenal. Yeah. That was gone into the net in the blinking of an eye. Like, yeah. I was wondering why Limerick didn't put more lads there, but I think you said before, JJ, the more lads means no one takes responsibility. Yeah. So, like, there was 2 either side of Quaid in the middle.
Yeah.
Jeez, I was like, Joe's going for this. Everyone in the stadium knew he had to go for it, because they had to, and he ends up, but like, I mean, it was in the top corner, so there was no stopping it anyway.
Kind of, Dermot Burns was on the post as well, and he said left hand hurler, so his top corner would have been free. So maybe Joe seen
that,
and he was poked it straight in the top. Well, look, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal score. But
so on the basis of that free and how he played, I thought this, like,
the second half he was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
When they need him, he was always there. Like, you know, he was a go to man himself, and Joseph Cooney. And Joseph Cooney had a great game as well. In fairness to him, you know, but
and Burke, they're the 3 Galway lads probably.
But the problem was that I'd say if it was in the middle, he probably would have scored it, because when it kind of tailed near the end, but he was too close to the sideline to actually get the.
But he didn't catch it though, did he? It wasn't a clean strike.
He had the accuracy. Like, when the ball was dropping, it was on the 6 yard box right in the middle of the goal. So he had the accuracy, but he just didn't have that 5-6 yards there. But it would have been a phenomenal score in Croke Park. That would have been like, you're on your own 45. It would have been a huge, huge score.
He got one against Tip, because Dara Donovan was mentioning that. He says after the game, he said, I had my head in a towel for the free, because he'd gone off the field at this stage. Okay. He says, I had to come off, but you're looking at one of the greatest hurlers of all time stepping over a ball. I remember the semi-final against Tipperary last year. He got a free in the same position. The ball came back out and he scored. Like, I mean, I just thought, because of 1994 and because of this comeback, I just thought, I know this is really difficult, but number one is Joe Canning, and number two, Limerick are just going to be like a hard luck story again. I thought it was written in the stars.
Yeah, and your heart would have broke for Limerick if they had just kind of. But in fairness, look, they won the ball and they brought it out as well. Like, you know, they could very easily could have got a Johnny Dale could have got a flick, or someone could have got a flick, or got a goal or a point off it. But Tom Conning came out with the ball and hand passed off. I think it was Tom Morrissey. And when you're 7 or 8 years of age, when you have the ball in your hand, you're running out from the fence. Yeah. And then when the referee blows the whistle, that's what you practice. You know what I mean? That's, yeah. It was a huge thing for the Limerick players at that particular time.
And while that was hard, like, I mean, winning a match like that, that's on a different level. Like, I mean, I was thinking, Jesus, imagine Limerick going to win this All-Ireland by 8 points and hitting that many wides in a game that never really took off because of all the wides. I was like, look at how they won it now.
Well, I'd say that's what they thought they were going to do. You know what I mean? They were kind of afraid to go win it. Like, but if they were 8 points up next year with the confidence after winning this year, I'd say they'd go on to win by 12 or 14 points. You know, they're nearly just afraid to go win it, like, because they weren't in that situation. It was just they're up too much with too much time to go, you know, that kind of way. So it's the time to run a bit better. But look, come here, the questions were asked, they answered them as well, to be fair. Like, you know what I mean? You can't take it away from this Limerick team, like, you know.
No, so no.
They're definitely the best team of the day, no doubt about that.
Absolutely phenomenal. The stewards, right, so the stewards are gathered around the field with 20 minutes to go. They're called into position. Now, I didn't see before, they actually have a blue net now. So you probably noticed it on the sideline, JJ. So they all lift up this blue net. And a few Limerick, I'd say maybe 30 Limerick fans got through one little area. Now, stewards are very heavy-handed with some of these people trying to get onto the pitch. So I'm kind of on the fence on this, in that, like, it's a huge GA tradition to look down over a sea of people from your own county, and they get on to celebrate with players, and now that's all taken away from them. I don't know, Damien, what you think of it. I think the captain's speech now, even though captain's speeches and Hannan's was another one, they're not good anymore. There's too many people to thank now. The backroom, honestly, he thanked everyone in his backroom team. It went on for ages. So I nearly think we should be doing away with the speeches at this stage. It's only a thank you to everybody. The kind of the character and the inspirational kind of stuff, like Anthony Daly, it's kind of gone. You get a bit at the start and then it just peters out to the point where towards the end of Hannan's speech I was like, oh, Jesus, like, this is terrible. Like, and the crowd's just waiting to give him something to cheer about, and then he's thanking John, who carried the water all year.
John has an important role as well.
Well, two things. What difference does that make? No one's listening. Like, I don't remember the fella he thanked. I don't remember the name because I wasn't paying attention. I don't know, Damien. Number one, the player or the supporters getting in on the pitch. Again, if the supporters are in at the pitch, you can't celebrate with your teammates, which is not ideal either. So I don't really know.
No, personally, if you ask me which would I prefer, as a neutral and as a player, I would love to see the supporters coming onto the pitch. That's, you know, I just think it was an old GAA tradition.
Yeah.
And
no other sport has that, only us.
Yeah, and could you imagine the Limerick supporters running onto the pitch yesterday after winning the All-Ireland? It would just have been unbelievable. Look at, for example, Clare in 95. But, like, then the argument is, Colin, right? I know if you said this to anyone in headquarters, they go, it's all about health and safety and all this, right? But you take Galway versus Clare down in Turles. Like, the game was over, supporters went onto the pitch to congratulate players and commiserate with players, and supporters mingled. Yeah. Like this, and it was actually a great scene, you know. So I don't know, you're asking me a question, so my answer is that I would love to see the supporters running back on. I'd love to see the crowd waiting for the, you know, the presentation of the Liam McCarthy and the captain's speech. Yeah, Declan Hannan went on a bit long, right, but sure, look at it, it's been so long, he had to thank everyone, and he probably felt he had to thank everyone and everything. But I would love to see the supporters running back on. But look at it, it's all health and safety, and that's what it's down to. But yeah, I'd love to see it.
That's it. It's unique to GAA, JJ, and it's the beauty of
absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
Remember when Tink Limerick won the Munster, and it was that famous picture down the Gaelic grounds, and it was a swarm.
Players
were
carried off the field.
Beautiful. But like, all the famous pictures down through the years are lads being carried on their back by supporters, and I mean, it's an iconic image from GAA, and that's gone on All Ireland final day.
I'd be 100% let the supporters on the field, because we had both of them. We had back when the sports were on the field and then after as well, like, you know. I know you're kind of saying that Croke Park might say, like, you kind of celebrate with your teammates, but when you go back in the dressing room, that's the
you
time.
You still do that.
That's the time you have with your teammates there as well, and that's kind of more kind of just the group, the panel, and all the background team. That's when you celebrate with each other. But I used to love when the Hill 16 came down, and you meet a few lads from your own parish, your own club. That's what's all you see. What it kind of means to these guys as well.
Yeah, because your club run to you, like, everybody.
They're going crazy. Like, in general, you feel like
the people you're circled around with are people that you know, because they're the ones that light on you.
Want to go to you, and you want to see them as well. It's a huge thing. Like, but you actually get more belts after the game when the sports come on than you do actually during the game, because lads, you actually put your helmet back on when you see the sports coming on. Everyone can just slap in the back or slap in the back of the head, but they get caught up in the whole emotion, the whole thing. Like, it's just they feel a part of the thing. They want to get on the field, they feel a part of, they're absolutely elated that their team are after winning as well, and they just want to go out and celebrate with you, you know, like, in a way. So I don't see any reason why they can't, because there's never any issues.
Now, we don't know. You see, you don't know if they come on the field in Thurles as there's somebody put in for a rolled ankle. Do we know that? Maybe there is.
You don't hear these stories, you know what I mean? Like, bad news stories would travel, like, and you don't hear any stories whatsoever about people come onto the field. Like, but are they protecting the field?
I don't know if they're protecting the field. I know, like, if they have concerts, there's obviously a special mat that's put over the grass. But you're talking about maybe 20 minutes and it disperses. I don't know. Could
I'm surprised the stewards kept the Limerick supporters off the field.
Some of them didn't now. They were fighting to get on. Got on.
To come up to the stand now, they were trying their best to get on the field. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, they were trying to break through now. Yeah. If one leg got through now, if there was a weak link in that chain, they would all got through.
This is the thing. I'm a steward, right? Are these lads doing it voluntarily or are they doing it? They're doing it voluntarily. Yeah. Would you not just let them through? Like, who are you going to get, like, what are you going to get sacked from? A voluntary job? Like, just
you
let them through.
Might get a free ticket for next
year. Maybe that's it. I just think, right, why do you care? I'm desperate. Keen Lynch said his mother broke through and there's a warrant out for her or something like that. But, like, I mean, if some...
But I can guarantee you, one of the stewards said, "I'm Keenly's mother." She obviously said that to the steward, and I'm going to look left, so you hop in.
I'd be letting them all through.
Like,
I mean, Jesus,
you wouldn't last longer,
Crawford,
will you?
No. But I even used to get in trouble when I worked for News Talk for walking across the pitch after a match. Yeah. I was told I had to walk down under the canal and back and around.
Can't touch the grass.
And I'm wearing runners. So this is how strict they are. But anyways, listen, lads. I was out in City West this morning, so I caught up with some of the Limerick lads. So I was talking to Kyle Hayes, Shane Dowling, and Aaron Gallan. So here that is now. Okay, Kyle, I'll start with you. Man of the match in an All-Ireland final. You're only 20. How does that feel?
Absolutely buzzing. It's hard to put into words. Like, it is hard to explain. Like, it's absolutely top of the world now at the moment. Like, I just don't want this feeling to end. Like.
Yeah. So 1994, you weren't even born. Was that going through your head towards the end? You obviously heard a lot about it.
Yeah, obviously you hear stories and whatever, like, all that. Like, but look, I had absolutely full faith and all the time. Like, especially the backs from here, especially there, like, all year they've been absolutely exceptional. Like, I had faith in that they'd pull through for us.
Yeah. There was an awful lot of wides yesterday. What do you put that down to? Was there a lot of nerves?
I'd say, to be honest, it's just the pressure of Galway putting on. Like, you know, it's the sheer fucking intensity that they bring to the whole occasion. Like, you know. And plus, obviously, fellas have been nervous as well. Like, their chances in it, they're always happy with creating chances. Like.
Yeah. And the start, you got a really good start, which is important against Galway.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you've seen all the games Galway played this year, they're flying the first 10 minutes, they absolutely blitzed most teams have played. Like, so, but we just wanted to get out there and get a good start and break even with them anyway, at least, if not go ahead with them.
Yeah. So the start of the second half is when you kind of hit song. You scored three in a row there. That was a really important time to stretch away into a lead.
Yeah, it's kind of lucky. It's kind of right place, right time, kind of a job. Like,
you were popping up loose, weren't you?
Yeah, that's just the nature of our game. We kind of roam around the place, like, draw. So I was just lucky to get in the right place. Like, someone there doing all the rock, it just happened to be the right place.
That's the thing with centre half forward. When you're drifting around, the centre back doesn't know whether to follow you, so you are getting a lot of space.
Yeah, that's what we try to do. We try to
kind of play games the centre back's head, like go out and to certain points so he doesn't know where to go, which are not like, you know, but yeah, exactly, try to just get a loose ball in and threat them.
That's an interesting thing. So the whole half forward line does the same thing. You don't go too far back or you won't be followed, so you go far enough to hope, you know what I mean, that you're in a dangerous position.
Well, it's if they do follow you, sure, it's all the one, they're going to be up on top of you, you're more safe too far. If they don't, you get the ball in, more time in the ball.
Answer me this, none of you look like you have hangovers today. What's going on here? We all look fresh.
I don't know. I don't think it's, I just went for a swim there anyway. I don't think the hangovers hit us in. It'll probably hit us about 2 or 3 today.
Yeah, okay, Kyle, thanks very much. I appreciate that. Shane, you look fresh as well. I thought this younger generation have all changed here. He's gone to the pool the morning after winning an All-Ireland.
I get out of bed and I'd long get on to the pool. Brilliant, unreal.
What was the feeling like yesterday, Shane? Because, like, I mean, it was 68 minutes you scored that goal and you celebrated. Like, it was like it was the winning goal because there was no way back for Galway at that stage. He had dominated the game and they were very, like, flat. How did this turn around then to almost, you know, to only be a point in it at the end?
94, I'd say. No, and
but that was in my head.
Yeah. Listen, I after the goal, I did get carried away. You were celebrating as if you were like, that's it.
That was the clinching goal.
Job done. Yeah. This is it. And like, I think, you know, it was a massive thing. 8 minutes addition time.
It gave them a boost.
It gave them a boost. And even their fans that were quiet for most periods of that second half just seemed to come to life a small bit. And it was nearly the Limerick lads kind of went there. And you know, like, there's a bit more to go, like, you know.
Yeah.
I think that was huge. I hadn't been spoken about much, but when I sat at 8 minutes, I've been sugar. Do you know what I mean? There's a bit of work left yet. And it's funny, and I said it, you've probably seen it, but after the game, I just stand in the middle of the field, parking up. I was fine, honestly. The 94 which I was, is everything.
Well, you're a robot if it didn't, because it was almost, falling away from me, wasn't
it? Yes, it was. And I don't think it impacted the performance of the players on the pitch, but it definitely, it went through my head. I spoke to a lot of lads, it went through everyone's head, and it's amazing. Kyle, as you said there, wasn't even born. I was one, but I've heard so much stories about it. The dad has told me a lot of stories about it, and while it had absolutely nothing got to do with anyone, it was just such a significant defeat that, you know, to venture, you know, to put to bed once and for all. Thanks for being
Well, I don't even want to bring up the fact that if it had been a draw, like, I mean, you would struggle to get over that. Like, I mean, it must have been really nervous kind of times to have been, had it won, and then all of a sudden maybe not have it won.
A draw yesterday would have been the same as a defeat.
Yes.
Definitely. When you're 9 points up and you have to go in and do it all again, don't get me wrong, we'd have obviously had to regroup and go again, but the initial feeling after the game, I can tell you, would have been disaster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you're that close to nailing the thing, and next thing it's slowly going from the walk. And listen, I think you need a massive amount of luck to win anything, to get anything in life. You need luck.
Yeah.
You need to put yourself in the right places, surround yourself with the right people, but still you need a bit of luck. And that last free that Joe took, that could hit early and ricochet into the back of the net.
Well, he didn't catch that though, did he?
No. The minute he hit it, I didn't even look. The minute he hit it, I knew it wasn't going over. And when he hit the free, I said, you know what, now go over or go wide, but don't drop into the square. And I saw it in. I was never so relieved, and I should see Tom come out the ball. And you know what, things are happened for a reason, I believe. And Tom Condon and Richard McCarthy would not have seen game time yesterday if the lads weren't injured.
Yeah.
And for them two lads that are giving so much Limerick hurling to get on the field of play, to make a difference, to get that out of the middle, that was massive for me to see that.
Yeah. And you've got 15 minutes normal time, then the 8, so you're getting 25 minutes, so you must be happy enough with that, you know.
It's just better 9 minutes in. Like it was at the start of the year.
That's true.
But you know what, I suppose it's,
you weren't expecting to start the final though, even if you're obviously man of the match the last time, but I don't know, I didn't expect you to start.
No.
You know,
I knew he wasn't going to change it. No harm to give an old
deal. I appreciated that.
I knew he wasn't going to change. He'd have probably been a fool to change anyway, you know what I mean, especially when it's been working.
Yeah.
And that's me trying to be unselfish.
Yeah.
I would have loved to start, definitely, and, you know, do what all you've ever dreamt of. 15 players going around, walking around.
Yeah.
And even the whole Michael D thing, when all that was going on, I just went into the dressing room, went into the bathroom, and just stayed away from it and just tried to get my own head right.
Did you watch any of that?
No,
it was too hard.
And that's been selfish, and I'm a selfish bugger, but that wouldn't have made any impact on me whatsoever. It was just me, because all this kind of circus, we'll call it, was going on outside, and I just went away from it, and as the teams were just coming back around, just go back home.
loading.
Right.
Your head is focused.
You didn't want that negative stuff of feeling sorry for yourself coming into it.
And that's exactly what it was. Into the dressing room, leave whatever, not sad thoughts, it's the wrong word, but whatever bit of negative thoughts or disappointment, I suppose, just into the bathroom, fire into the sink and get back out and get your game face on. And that's me, as I say, just being selfish.
I can relate to it. I sat on the bench for a Leinster final. It's not nice. It's not nice at the start. Like, there's no point. And come here, so what were the celebrations like last night? It looked subdued. I was watching a Sunday game and Declan and John were up being interviewed, Michael Lester, and you know, it was like, are you all still a little bit shell-shocked about it?
I can tell you something. If you're doing nothing, go down to Limerick tonight and you'll see celebrations. Last night, I think everyone was just relieved.
Yeah.
Just relieved to get over the line. And that was, you know, it was still good buzz here last night, don't get me wrong. But I think what a lot of people were doing is, rather than going mad, they wanted to take a step back and actually take it all in. But tonight, I know what's going on down there. It'll be a different ball game. So you're more than welcome, Mully, and anyone else that wants to join the circus, bring them all on.
Brilliant, Shane. Thanks very much. Aaron, how's the head today?
Not the best, to be honest, but the victory yesterday makes it a bit bearable, so it's alright, we get over it.
You live with it. I was talking to Kyle Hayes there and he's been in the pool, so I'm like, what's going on with these young lads from Limerick in the pool the day after winning an All-Ireland?
Yeah, I was too lazy to get out of bed now, but see the work Kyle got through yesterday, I think he needs it, so and even Kyle getting men in the match yesterday, we're delighted for him, he deserves it, so we're just all over the moon.
Yeah, come here, talk to us about the ending to that game. Like, it must have been surreal. You had it won and then you almost bloody had it lost.
Yeah, it was scary now. Jeez, even the last few matches, like against Cork, when we came back from 6 points down, and even when Kilkenny got that goal. But yesterday it felt like they were going to bring back to a draw, and they kind of had a bit of momentum. I thought they were going to kick on and maybe go ahead, but jeez, thank God, we kind of held on and got over the line eventually. Yeah. 45 years is too long for us.
Great. Did you think he played well yesterday? Because like, you're obviously, your tackling, your blocking, your work rate was unbelievable, but like, those 21 wides.
So actually, I haven't analysed that now yet. We'll leave that for another few days. But I don't know, to be honest. 21 wides, I suppose, is a bit over the top. But look, it's up for Paul Knurk now and Shawnee, the statsman, to analyse the game. But we're just happy we got the win, so it doesn't bother me too much.
Yeah, no, fair enough. What was it at the battle like with Dottie Burke? Were you surprised he was going to mark you, or were you expecting that?
I didn't really know, to be honest. I wouldn't really be thinking too much about who we marked him, but we'll see all year.
He kind of has a reputation though, you know.
Yeah, I know, he's been one of the best defenders in Ireland all year, and he was the same again yesterday. He was very good, and even I talked to him for a second after the match. He's a gent, like, so I know, I've only good things to say about him.
Yeah, so like, the tactics in your full forward line look to me, Mulcahy and Flanagan all buzz all over the place, and then you plant yourself on the edge of the square. You're the goal scorer.
Yeah, they do all, but I haven't scored a goal though.
No, well, I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute.
They do all the running, I just stand there, but no, the two boys are fit as fiddles, and I just trying to wait in there. I'd be the deepest man inside, and if the ball comes in, it comes in. And like yesterday, Seamus and Graham got a load of ball and they did the damage, so it's all the one who gets the points as long as Limerick win.
I want to talk to you about dropping the hurl and trying to score points Gaelic, or goals Gaelic football style. Where are you getting this technique? You're trying to bend them into the top corner with a slitter.
Yeah, I don't know, it was a dropping the hurley down there. There's a few pictures of your men in Spillane pulling the hurley out of my hands, and I definitely wasn't dropping it intentionally, but I suppose you have no hurley in your hand, you have to kick it. But Jesus, I don't know what I was doing trying to curl it.
I don't know what I was doing.
It's madness, the moment of madness.
Because Patrick's is not a football club or anything. Where are you getting it? You play a bit of soccer or anything like that?
I used to when I was younger. Jesus, there's a football in the window, it'd be worse. No, the boys would be slagging me now. They give me a big slitter there to practice. Join big go games, you know, to practice on. So.
Well, because you changed your technique then for the second one. You went to pump the second one and it came off the inside of their boot.
Look how that turned out. I said, I didn't even go wide. I went out for a sideline.
Right. So I was thinking maybe the hurl dropping out of your hand was, like, it happened so many times and it happened against Kilkenny, that was something you do.
No, Jesus, not a tactic anyway. I don't be trying it intentionally,
right.
No.
Okay.
It's just unfortunate, I suppose.
It's just the way it goes.
If I had the hurl in my hand, maybe I would have scored a few goals, but look, it still worked out well for us in the end.
Yeah, exactly. So how were the celebrations then last night? Was it a late one, or like, it seemed subdued on the Sunday game?
Jeez, I think I only got 2 or 3 hours of sleep, so
right.
I just got up there. I was going up for my breakfast, but I don't know if I have to eat now, I'm fairly sick. But no, it'll all kick off now again in the oil, I'd say, and for the rest of the week hopefully, and we'll enjoy it.
Yeah, so you've routine set out for yourselves today, do you, or do you know what's happening?
I think we're going back to Limerick this evening, and I'm not sure where we're going, into the Gaelic grounds, I think, for a homecoming or something.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure now. Eamon O'Neill is the man with the plan, so we'll just follow him and I suppose we'll enjoy it again.
I presume you saw the scenes in the Gaelic ground yesterday when the final whistle went, where they all went jumping all over the place,
but that's Limerick, like. Probably the best supporters in Ireland, like, and not just the players, but they deserve a day like this as well. They've been celebrating and they've been going to every match, so, and they don't ask for nothing, they just want Limerick to do well and just delighted from as well.
I want to finish up there because it was Keane Lynch was talking about his mother jumping onto the field, and he says there's a warrant out for her. I was saying a bit of a joke, but some Limerick fans did get on gone to the field. I'm just wondering what you think. Is it better to have them all come on, or is it, did you find that you could celebrate with your teammates without having them on the field? Which is your preference?
It's nice as well, like, to see what it means to the fans and they come on the field, because sure, you'll be surrounded straight away when people come on the field. I liked it now yesterday, there's only a few, but you still got to celebrate with all the guys. I prefer it that way.
Listen, I'll let you enjoy the celebrations. It's going to go on for a while. Thanks very much.
It's bone to lies, there's no point in papering over like that. It is extremely tough, I won't tell you. But again, it's not about me or Morris or anyone else, it's about Waterford.
We've waited so long. I know I've seen one of your tweets yesterday, it said 6 years, obviously a leash, man, but it's a long 6 years for us there, and we're absolutely thrilled. Like,
I remember after Leinster final, I was Tuesday morning, my nephew was out in the lawn and he was taking freeze with his socks pulled up pretending to be TJ Reid, and fairly brought me back down to earth that day anyway.
All right, lads. So I thought it was interesting something Kyle Hayes said there at the end of part one, and he was talking about playing mind games with the centre half back. So he was playing centre of plenty of mind games because he's popping up all over like loose, completely unmarked, which is bizarre, really. But what he said, which I thought was interesting, is that they don't go back too far. So they go back to a point where you nearly have to push out, and if you don't push out, you're in scoring distance. So say for example you see Waterford have a really working half forward line, but they go back into the defence, so they end up winning it and they'll poke it back down and the half back line will be in place, and it's almost a game of yo-yo because the extra men both sides. But Limerick, when Morrissey pops up, when Kyle Hayes pops up, they're in scoring distance, so it's almost like you have to push out on these lads because they're going into pockets that is not out of range. Yeah. Like it's the perfect tactic.
Yeah.
And I noticed that in Croke Park yesterday. They're lurking around the score inside of half of the halfway line.
Yeah.
And they're just standing around free. And because Limerick plays such beautiful balls, they're getting balls to hand unmarked.
Yeah. And if you look all the way down through the whole probably last 2 years, Garrett McNerney sits in front of that work. That's what he does. He sits around the D there. He just right in front of the D, that's where he always goes, you know. And very, very cute how Limerick there as well.
All the ball was Mulcahy and Flanagan on the wings.
But the use of their ball was absolutely phenomenal. Every ball that went into that Limerick forward line was to the forward's advantage. It was never to a back's advantage.
Yeah.
And if a back has a 50-50 ball, the back is a happy day. I'll make hay here. But if you ask Damien there, the ball that the Limerick forward was getting, he would have loved to got that ball there as well. Like, you know, kind of way, it's just always out to the outside of the forwards pop pass, and they were making a run, but they knew them. If they did make the run, they would have got the ball down the channel or a crossfield ball as well. Actually, it's huge for a forward to know that they're going to get the ball run.
You look at it, how many balls did Flanagan get that bounced two or three times in front of him and he rolls it with the hurley, and
he had a brilliant game.
He's always available. Now Conor Whelan's always available. Not one, Damien, not one ball did Conor Whelan get out in front of him that he can come out and rise it with the hurley. I can't remember one. And the goalie got came off a high ball. Like, I mean, Galway seemed confused, as nearly Johnny Glynn was working against them, in that they just didn't play that same structured tasty ball into their forwards.
Well, what happened was, Colm, I think Limerick management deserve an awful amount of credit, right? And what happened was Aaron Glenn and Mulcahy came out the field for puck out for James Kell. So they left the two cornerbacks open and they absolutely crowded the midfield half back line. So it was giving James Kell no options there. So next thing, they were hitting the ball. Basically, what happened was nearly what happened to Clare against Galway. It was like, you know, the same thing. So the ball hitting the ball to the cornerbacks for Galway. and he was driving it down long into a big lumped crowded area in there. So Galway, where Limerick were spreading the wings for their puckouts and were hitting the man's men, right? Now, just going back on this thing about, you know, the mind games of Kyle Hayes, right? Kyle Hayes had a great game, so he had, right? I really had, okay, but I cannot understand, and I said this in the podcast a couple of weeks ago, that if you're playing wing forward in an inter-county setup, that you can run back the field, right, and not be picked up. Maybe JJ, you can explain this better to me, because it just doesn't make sense, right? Where the wing back doesn't pass the 65 yard line because he's compacting space and he's marking a square and all this, right? Where what happens is the fullback or the cornerback gets the ball and he sees for example the Kyle Hayes and all these boys, right, out the side, they hit him an outlier ball, he gets it, he can either have a pot shot at goal because there's no one marking him. I seen it yesterday, it happened to Joe Cannon as well yesterday. He got a couple of balls, his very first attempt on goal for yesterday's pint, he drove it wide but no one picked him up, and lads are hitting long range wide or long range pints or hitting in lovely diagonal ball into the corner forwards. So I just can't understand this tactic that the backs don't follow their men in inter-county hurling, but they'll follow them in club hurling.
Yeah,
right. But the second thing, you're wondering how did Galway not get this nice ball in the first half in particular, Colm? Galway lost the battle 100% in the middle eight. The Limerick half back line were on top all over, and so was their midfielders, you know. And I think it counted 5 points from play. The Limerick half back line and midfield scored in the first half. 5 points from play.
Yeah, that'd be.
So
right,
it was
right,
two from Hannon. It was two from Hannon. It was one in the first half from the other wing back.
Burns got one in the first half,
a big long ranger off his right hand side, left hand on top. They were on top completely, and then when Johnny Glynn wasn't getting the ball and catching it, there was no, and like, and then you had lads in like Galway, only one scoring forward in the first half, that was Joseph Cooney, 2 points from play.
Yeah,
one scoring forward, you know. It is
interesting, JJ, how at this senior level that it's gone so tactical that these top class players are being just popping up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think this is contributing. I said this a few weeks ago. This is contributing to these shootouts.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's why we're seeing such high scores, because it's gone so tactical that half back lines are not following the half forward lines.
No,
and because obviously
they're playing their full back line.
But that's all right in Gaelic football, because you're out of scoring zone outside the 45. But hurlers aren't really outside scoring zone. So it's almost like it's a shootout.
Yeah, it is a shootout. And look, it's we're having great games for this year's championship.
This is the thing: is would it not be better off follow these lads, man mark them, and okay, take the chance, but tell your full back line, get out in front. You don't see them doing it. It's very easy to say that.
You're in Croke Park now, and I played in full back line in Croke Park, and you look around, there's 40 yards of space right in front of you. That's what you don't want.
Yeah.
You want your half back line 20 yards right in front of you. If we're talking about that, the back wants a 50-50 ball. That's what the back wants. If the ball is coming into space, like Seamus Flanagan got there yesterday as well, it's a forwards ball all day long. It's very, very important. If you see, go back to Tipperary and Kilkenny there in, it was 2016 All-Ireland final. The movement Jamie Callan had that day and the space Jamie Callan had was absolutely phenomenal. He used to run behind Joey Holland, fake left, run right, and the ball was put down the right hand side. With space, it's very, very hard to mark space because they have to hold.
I
think for the sake of the full back line, they have to hold.
But then you're getting screwed on the half forward line.
But then what you're supposed to do now is get your half forward line back. And your midfield back there as well. But again, you're kind of, if you're winning that area 100%, you'll come back, and you're getting on ball, you'll come back. But if you're not winning ball in your own particular area, it's very hard to go back and mark someone else's man just to make someone else look good, because you're not hurling well at the same time. You know, like, anyway, you're hoping the whole thing will kind of click into place and your half back line might be hitting a bit of ball.
Yeah, and sometimes
Declan Hannon was free for a lot of it. He hit a lot of ball. I think that's when Joe should have went back and marked Declan Hannon for 10-15 minutes, because he scored 2 points in play in the first half, kept him in it, and sprayed a lot of ball there.
He
should have pushed up on him then, and then kind of nullify him, like, more than anything. But Joe kind of, it's funny, like, you could have a great game, but if you get the ball rather than, like, Joe was going deep to get the ball, but he wasn't getting it. His marker was getting the ball, and he was scoring from there.
Unless you're picked out, that's the beauty of Limerick.
Yeah,
is that half forwards are picked out.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
they're like,
and to know that
just,
as well. Like,
it's just bizarre for me to see these lads just being unmarked in an All Ireland final.
It's
ridiculous. So an All-Ireland final day, and like, I know this is all the coaching from Knurk, right, and he deserves a lot of praise now. He's after winning All-Ireland with Clare and with Limerick, but I just think it's just amazing that in Cumberland, if you're a forward and you go back into your own half-back line, maybe looking for outlet ball or whatever, and next thing you turn around, your man's behind you. In inter-county hurling, you can be a wing forward and go back into your half back line, you can look behind you and your man is 25 yards away from you, like where he's mining space. And I can see your point, AJ, but at times I don't understand it. I'll give you an example. We spoke about Kilkenny and we spoke about Carl Mannion and Paddy Deegan not picking him up. He got 6 points from play that day, Carl Mannion did, right? And yesterday he never scored at all, where he was being marked pretty tightly at times, where he didn't get any space and he was taking pot shots. Like, and I think the first 20 minutes of every match is called confidence for a forward. So if you are marking your man fairly tight and you don't give him much of it and you don't give him a sniff, it's a confidence thing where you're maybe looking over the side, or the management are always willing to maybe take off a forward, put on a forward like that. But I just think sometimes there's nearly too much emphasis on protecting the backs and not trying to go man marking, or protecting your full back line instead of just man marking your own man. And I just thought it was interesting yesterday's All Ireland how much space some of the players got. Even Kyle Hayes, like Kyle Hayes got 2 points there at one stage, and like they were free shots. He was just holding on to him, just throwing more of that, and he missed three or four. Like, the man had roughly 7 to 8 shots on target in an All Ireland final at centre forward. From play.
Maybe an example is this, lads. Do you ever play like soccer at a junior level?
Yeah.
Like, I could be playing as a striker at soccer junior level and have a fella man marking me like it's a GA match. But that doesn't happen at the top level because they have to drop off and cover zone. So maybe the top level hurling is more tactical than club hurling, and that's where Damien's being followed a little bit more.
Well, I think like you have to do both. At times you have to go up on your man. You have to go up on your man, but at times you can't just do that for 70 minutes. You have to sit back, because fair enough, your man might score, and that's, look, you're going to have to accept that. And when you're an intercounty hurler, like, if a forward gets 2 points off you, that's acceptable. At and over 2 points then is not acceptable, I don't think, because the space they'll have, because if you're doing your job for your teammates as well, he might get a loose ball, a breaking ball, and if he gets a shot at a goal, 9 times 10 he's going to go over the bar, because he's a great, great skill level. But you have to go up man to man, because no point if, say for argument's sake, Tom Morrissey was standing on the sideline there yesterday, I go up beside him, two has gone out of the game, it's no good. You're leaving 40-50 yards of space behind you, and my cornerback is going to be exposed like that as well. If he's not, you have to get up to him. If you think he's getting the ball, get up to him, man mark him. But if you think the ball is going long, and that's all, it's all coming from your forwards putting the other backs under pressure. If he's under pressure hitting the ball, then he's hitting it off the back foot.
Yeah.
Then he doesn't know where he's hitting it. So 9 times 10, if you go back into space, you will get it.
Well, that's what Limerick have in spades. Yeah, they have that ravenous forward line. They have this working half forward.
It shows.
Limerick have you everywhere because of the style of play, the way they go through the lines. These lads are causing so much damage, and then you're not sure pushing up on them, and they're popping up all over.
Yeah.
Limerick have the perfect game plan, and that's obviously, like, I mean,
it's a very similar game plan to Galway, but they've done it better.
Well, Galway were going along a lot yesterday. Yeah, Galway were confused, I thought, yesterday.
But Galway's half, all year, Galway's half forward lane were coming deep and getting the ball. But yesterday they weren't getting the ball because obviously Limerick's half hour lane were working very, very hard. Yeah. And Kyle Hayes, like, he had a fabulous game yesterday, but probably a natural centre back, midfield, probably kind of a player, like, and scored 4 points. But the work he done and the puck out option was phenomenal. When they came in for the puck out, they came into the middle and it broke, but they broke to the sides for, like, Nicky Quaid was hitting in space, but they were breaking 30 or 40. But he was full pelt, 30 or 40 yards sprinting to get the ball. He knew where it was going to go, and it was just a fabulous outlet for Nicky Quaid all day. Like,
they won 29 of 36 puckouts. I've never seen a stat like that.
That's
now
phenomenal.
And that Quaid was going long more than Skehill, I think, from my memory.
He was going long for the first maybe 20 minutes, and then he went short, because when Galway kind of realised that he was going long, Galway sat back a bit, and then he went short. Very, very cute now, Nicky Grader as well, because he was hitting Sean Finn in the corner, and then he was hitting it over the Galway half back in there as well. It was cute enough, like.
Yeah, what Limerick did for the Galway puckouts is that they gave up the full back line for every puckout.
Yeah.
So they were like Skehill.
Same thing. They did against Clare.
So then when Skehill would go short, and he went short, I think it was to Hanbury's corner a good bit.
Yeah.
Flanagan was down on him like a light. So instead of Skehill having a free shot to pick out a man, suddenly Hanbury has a shot under pressure.
Yeah.
So it made no sense for Galway to be going short, because that's what Limerick wanted him to do.
Hanbury went to come out one stage stolen with the ball, and he stole it all the way out, and next he went to give a little stick pass near, like, with a tennis racket, and he gave it straight to Kyle Hayes. Do you remember Kyle Hayes straight through the middle? He took his point. He could nearly have actually maybe tried to create an overlap for a score there.
For a goal.
But as I said to you, for a goal, yeah. But it was like a reversal. Galway's tactic against Clare, Limerick decided to use it, and I thought that the Galway, like, I've always praised this Galway management, but the players, especially the two cornerbacks, looked extremely confused on what to do with the ball when they got the ball from their short puck out from Skehill, and it looked obvious that way. And when Galway were under pressure, like, I was on the 21 yard line, Micheál Dunne was telling the likes of Whelan and Conor Cooney to go out into the half forward line just to go onto the ball and leave Johnny Glynn inside in the full forward line on his own. And it just didn't work. And they didn't get that many balls into Johnny Glynn either, even though Casey and Ferrance had a great game on him. But they didn't get an awful amount of high balls because they weren't winning it. I mean, they weren't winning, and the Galway lads were taking pot shots as well. I thought some of our forwards were very individual sided yesterday. They didn't play as a unit, and you were just speaking about Kyle Hayes. Kyle Hayes made one unbelievable hook on Johnny Cohen in the first half, where he got back to him for a pint sided. But I just thought Limerick were way more up for the game, and they could have won the game by a lot more.
Yeah, no, definitely could, and that's probably because we'll talk about the wides in a minute. Like, I mean, that spread like a disease throughout the whole team. Both teams, but, like, I mean, like, you know, you always talk about moments in a game, and for the last 2 years, remember Paddy Maher hit Joe Canning, knocked him out over the sideline. Then the following year, when Galway beat Tip, Garrod McInerney knocked Paddy Maher in his arse. So Flanagan hits McInerney and puts him down.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, these are like statements of intent. Like, I mean, this is, we're here and we hammer the hammer. We're not only going to knock you, we'll knock your biggest man.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, that's all psychological stuff. You don't say lay down a marker and this is a, I know they're cliches, but they're cliches for a reason.
Yeah.
His teams used them, and then you have Kyle Hayes hitting Canning, and that wasn't a free at all.
No, he got the ball, but even Flanagan hit Pádraig Mannion for the goal as well.
Yeah, now that was a foul.
Yeah,
that was in the back, borderline.
Yeah, he knocked him though. He knocked the ball away from him. Like, you know what I mean? Just in case you're not going to get out here easy.
But they bullied,
you know,
like,
they
this
got
is,
a goal
this is a Galway
that, like,
team that everyone says bullies the opposition.
But all year we're saying that Limerick are probably the only team physically that can stand up to this Galway team. And in fairness to them, they lay down a marker straight away in the first 10-15 minutes. They say that, yeah, we can take you on physically. We can take you on running. If you want to play a running game, we can take you on that. We'll take you on a hurling game. There's no problem whatsoever. Like, adding that. That Galway were going toward Limerick, they had the answer for it straight away.
Yeah, but let's talk about the wides. So Limerick had 11 wides in the first half, 9 after half time, or 10 even after half time. I think they had 21 in total. Galway had 10 first half wides. Like, I mean, the crowd couldn't get into this. I don't know what was the reason for it, or some of them weren't even shots that were under pressure. Like, you give the defenders credit for some of them, but there was other ones, Damien, that were just complete players, like top quality players, were completely like under no pressure and are just putting it wide. It deflated the atmosphere right throughout the whole game, I thought.
Yeah, well, look, I actually thought the game was below par, to be honest. I thought there was an awful lot of mistakes, an awful lot of errors. I think if you take the three goals that Limerick scored, all three of them were mistakes. All three of them, you take an awful lot of shot selections. You know, there was a lot of mistakes as well. And sometimes it's just down to the All-Ireland column that lads maybe are a bit more jittery on the ball and a little bit more nervous. Limerick, especially in the second half, hit an awful lot wide from out the field, you know, where if they got a couple of them, they put themselves under an awful amount of pressure. And you're saying, like, how does it happen? I think Limerick players were looking up at the clock and they seen like they were maybe 2 or 3 minutes away from winning the All-Ireland and they're 7 or 8 points up, and next thing all of a sudden they came to the 17th minute, next thing the board went up that there was 8 minutes left. So they were, I think they were running out of steam and they were gasping for last breath, but they hung on and just hung on just about. And like, if anyone watches the All-Ireland back, right, okay, and I'm not saying the ending here, right, but Tom Condon was coming out with the ball. If you just watch the very last piece of play, if the referee wanted to give a free, right, and make a draw of it, Tom Condon came out with the ball and he hand passed the ball out, and he kind of tripped Jason Flynn afterwards. Like, the ref actually could have made a draw of it if he wanted. So if anyone has just watched the very last seconds of the match, now I probably have to be honest with you, I'm delighted that didn't happen, because Jesus, it would have been absolutely terrible. But yeah, there was a lot, there was an awful lot of wides, an awful lot of errors in this all, and I know it's all down to pressure, but a lot of errors and mistakes made in the 80 minutes.
Yeah, you're getting desperate now, Damien, when you're looking for a free there.
Well, just watch it. No, but just watch it. No, you're picking me up wrong here. No, I'm not depriving them in the least. No, but just watch it. The ref actually could have, if he wants to be, if the GA would have been very happy with him, maybe if they made a draw of it and more money, would have went into extra time.
No, it'd been a replay.
It
would have been a replay. At the very last clip. Very last tip, and I'm not saying, and lads, look at it, would have been an injustice if Limerick, even if Galway got a draw. Limerick were the best team on the day. They were all over Galway apart from the last few minutes of the match, right? And if they scored half of what they missed, they would have hammered Galway, and they deserved their win, is the first thing I said. But just at the very last clip of play, even I question, right, I'd even question whether it was a free. Do you know what, Joe's last free from the long range, I'd even question whether that was a free. Were the ref out, and the ref in fairness gave Galway to see what would happen. The ball dropped short, he let the boys pull, the ball could end up in the net, the ball broke, the Galway could have still won the ball back and maybe got a free or even got an equaliser. So the ref gave Galway every opportunity to level that game, so he did. But no, Limerick deserved their win, and they were well deserving of it.
I'd say Limerick must have spoke about it at half time, because he used the ball a lot better in the second half. All the pot shots in the first half, maybe, look, you can put that down to nerves in the first half, they wanted to just get their the name on the scoreboard, but in the second half they were hitting it into the corners rather than taking the shots. They're in the same positions as were in the first half, but they're actually giving in the ball into the full forward. Aaron Gillan was making a huge amount of runs.
Yeah,
Seamus Hannigan was running all day, he was running straight across.
It's a nightmare
to mark forward. It's absolutely phenomenal, the work rate he does is phenomenal. But
they shouldn't have taken off Flanagan. They should have taken off Aaron Gillan.
They took off
the wrong man, because Gillan wasn't going that awfully well, and there wasn't that many frees either for Limerick. And even if they did, Dowling would have stuck them over the bar as well. But they definitely did. I'd say that was the one major mistake that the Limerick management made on the day. They took off Flanagan, and I think they put themselves under a little bit of pressure, in particular in that last 8 minute spell. Flanagan would have been a little bit better, but I think that was the only major mistake that the Limerick management made in the hour.
I'd agree with that, JJ, because Gillan started great. He caught two great balls on Dottie Burke, which not easy to do. Yeah. He scored a good point, but he had gone out of it at that stage, and he had a really bad wide at the end. Like, I mean, this is him on his good side, and he missed it.
Yeah.
And it was like Flanagan didn't deserve to come off. I didn't think.
He was just right in front of John Kiley, who was 10 yards away, and then Flanagan won a ball over the side and he hit it across the field. It was kind of went straight to Sean Loftus, the Galway player, and then John Kiley made a decision there and then turned around Peter
Sometimes
Casey, get him on straight away,
like
small
that.
Little thing like that, maybe he's seen the fatigue, maybe he was tired with the pass or something like that, but the pass didn't go to a Limerick player, turned around Peter Casey on the field straight away. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it was Dowling came on for Garrod Hegarty earlier. Yeah,
2 minutes then he was on the field straight away. And in fairness to Peter Casey, if you look at him, Graham McCatty made a mistake coming off the, he hit a crossfield ball. I think one of the Galway that scored a point, but he went down and scored a point.
Niall Burke scored a point.
But from the next play, then Graham McCatty won it, but Peter Casey made around 30 or 40 yards run and broke the ball for Graham McCatty, and he stuck it over the bar.
He's a man to work, Casey, isn't he? He's
phenomenal.
Unreal.
Yeah, he's a great, great player.
A lot of the scores this lad gets is from turnovers that he's getting himself. Like,
he works out very, very hard.
Unbelievably hard. He tracks lads. He hosts them down, doesn't he?
He's a nightmare to mark at the back. You know, especially 60, 70 minutes, he's fresh. He's coming on.
He's fresh, yeah.
And he's mad for road as well. Like, you know, and you're kind of saying, oh, this lad's coming on. He's going to haunt me now.
Yeah. Oh, he tortures you. But, like, there are Limerick yesterday reminded me of Yee when Yee, like, Yee took the Tyrone model, and you know that famous clip in 03 where, like, it was swarming. Yeah. Remember, it was Dara O'Shea, Dara Kinnaird had it, and there was so many. Yee started doing that, where a lot of the analysis when Yee win in All Ireland would be analysis of four or five lads descending on the one lad and getting your turnover.
And turnover,
Limerick were at that. Like, I mean, I know Niall Burke got one late in the game. There was about six lads around him. He got a free. It wasn't a free.
No, it should have been a free in for Limerick, like, but there was six or seven lads just.
The Limerick management was bananas on that.
And rightly so. Did you notice this one when Shane Dowling came on? That Galway substitute clean on straight away to Mark Dowling. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
No, he came on 1 minute after Dowling and went immediately over to mark him.
That's great management.
See, it is.
Like, you know, obviously he spoke about that for the week.
I don't agree with you there now, Colin, because I think he came on for John Hansbury and John Hansbury was struggling. And I think Galway on the 12 had 200 players, and John Hansbury was carrying an injury into the game, and so was Garage McInerney, and I don't think the two boys played up to the standards that they're able to get to, and I think John Hansbury was struggling at that stage, and just because Dowling come on, I think they had to make a change there, and just happened to Killing come on straight away. And even it was very interesting, they put Killing on wing back, and Killing doesn't play in the half back line for his club, he plays in the full back. So that's just my opinion. Right. I just think they had to. They made a change. It might be just incidental to see them come on within a minute of each other. But the two boys weren't fit, and they didn't play well either on the day. Like Garage McInerney 2 weeks ago could not play against Clare. He had a calf injury, even though I thought maybe he could have ruptured his cruciate. But he just wasn't himself. I see him one stage. As I said, I was in the 21 around the Hogan stand, and Tom Morrissey got the ball, and McInerney was marking him, and it was like McInerney was able to jog, but he wasn't able to sprint. Now, I know Morrissey drove the ball wide from out the angle, but he just wasn't running right. He just wasn't himself.
Right, yeah, no, he probably. Listen, I think Limerick don't play a game plan that suits McInerney, because he's not going to get balls down on top of him.
One ball on top of me, he caught it, and that was it.
Yeah, in the first half.
Yeah,
wasn't
first
it,
half. Yeah. After that, then Nicky Quaid just hit to the sides all the time as well. When he was going long, it was just to both sides.
Yeah.
Kept away from him, like.
And that was it. It's just the reason I thought they brought Killeen on for Dowling is because remember when Kevin McManaman was making such an impact all the time with Dublin, that what Fitzmaurice and Kerry used to do is the minute McManaman came on, they brought on a fresh defender. And I thought there's a good logic to that. And I thought maybe Dowling had reached that level now of super sub that you maybe needed fresh legs.
Just to prove that he wasn't marking him, because when Dowling got the goal, so he did, Dowling ran back out towards the side of, we'll say, the Galway management, and Paul Killeen was the far side.
Right. Well,
it might look that way, but
when Killeen came on, he ran straight across under the Cusick stand onto Dowling. Now I know when Dowling scored the goal, sure he went apeshite.
He did.
Dowling thought that was the winning goal, and who could have blamed him?
Well, sure you would, like, you know. Yeah. He's just icing on the cake, really, more than that stage. You know what I mean?
But within minutes, then they brought on Loftus. So the guy brought on Loftus, and they put Killeen back cornerback after putting
Aidan Hart was back cornerback.
Aidan Hart cornerback. Yeah. So then they brought Aidan Hart out to midfield. At times, Colin, I have to be honest and say, I don't know. We spoke about Galway's defence and maybe Galway's options of subs, right? There's players on the sub bench for the Galway senior hurling team, and they haven't got game time. And maybe it's because I don't think the Galway management trusts the options that they have in defence. Like, there's other players, they're not going to start naming them, but there's players on the subs that haven't got game time in maybe two, maybe even possibly 3 years. So they haven't. So, yeah. And then we look for a substitution at midfield for Johnny Cohen. We had to bring Aidan Hart, who was after going from wing back to cornerback, back out to midfield. So does that mean then that we didn't have a third option midfielder in our setup?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. So what I'm trying to say is we didn't have a strong sub bench for our backline. And where are you going to find these players? And the thing is, Galway are in Division 1B again next year, so we're going to be playing a lot of the weaker counties, where Galway need to find maybe 3, 4, 5 players next year, and they're playing the weaker counties where Limerick are gone up into Division 1A.
Yeah, so I couldn't believe the stat that I read this morning, that last year was Galway's 5th All-Ireland title, and yesterday was their 20th final to lose. 20 finals and won 5. It's terrible
crazy
record.
It's
really
crazy,
when you think about last year, like, I mean, how big that was for Galway. I actually didn't realise it was that big, or that the stats were that.
I didn't realise that at all.
Were you aware of that, Damien, in Galway?
I wasn't, no, I wasn't. I know we lost Was it six All-Ireland finals? I think it was from since 88. I knew that, but
yeah, no, I think he lost a lot in the 20s. And these can be skewed as well, but like there might have been six in the 20s alone or something. Okay. But at the same time, it's 20-5. It's not a good record in finals.
No, we did, and we didn't play well. As I said, I just read a thing there on John Kiley. He targeted the first 20 minutes. He said that they targeted the first 20 minutes of this All-Ireland, where Galway were blitzing teams, and you could see it there. Limerick were really up for it. But to be hungry and motivated is a massive thing, and they brought a massive energy towards this game. And Galway never got to the heights and to the levels of this game, and lost the battle in the middle eight. And first time I ever heard the mention of the middle eight was Declan O'Sullivan gave an interview. So he did the Kerry Footballer in a Radio 1 interview, and all he kept talking about, it was a Kerry versus Cork game, and all he kept talking about was the middle eight. This was about maybe 10 years ago, middle eight, and I was wondering, like, what does he mean? And, like, that was back then, Kerry were talking about the middle eight, the half forward line, half back line, and two midfielders. And what you call it, Limerick won that. Effectively, they went down and won the All-Ireland. If you don't win the battle in the middle eight, it's over.
Yeah, there it did. It just looked like one team completely up for this, and Galway looked there for the taking. And maybe, again, just to finish up, is that you say it all throughout the year, like, Galway are going with the same team as last year.
Yeah.
Like, what team does that? Like, I know ye did a year. I don't want to compare any team with ye because you're freaks of nature. You see,
we always had a couple of lads come on.
Would you always have one or two?
One or
Galway
two
had nobody.
They changed it up, one or two guys. Yeah.
And Tipperary the year before, lads.
Galway using 18, 19 of the same players every day. And you know, I know it's easy talk afterwards, right, and hindsight is a great thing, is to say, right, but like, I suppose the writing was on the wall. Galway should have been beaten against Kilkenny the first day in the Leinster final. They should have been, because Kilkenny had so many wides when they were on top in the first half, right? The second day, okay, Galway pushed on, right? Then Galway played Clare in the semi-final, right, and Clare went 3 points up in extra time, right? So Galway should have been beaten that day as well, right? And then when they played Clare again in Turles, right, a goalpost prevented Clare from getting to the All-Ireland final. So Galway should have been beaten in that game as well, and then we played Limerick. So, you know, Galway were very lucky to get to the All-Ireland, but the writing was on the wall that the panel wasn't as strong as it needed to be, and Micheál Dunne is now going to have to go and look for extra players to try strengthen his squad. But it's going to be hard to do that in Division 1B, but as I said, Galway, when you look back, struggled all year.
Yeah. So just quickly on that, is that not? I would say that that starting team was the same as last year's starting team. Wouldn't it be fairly close? I'd say
that would have been.
And Tipperary got
Barscale
in goal. Yeah, and that was an enforced change. So Tipperary the year before then as well, they won the All Ireland, come back with the very same team and run out of gas. Aren't able to defend it. You look at Dublin Footballers this year and the example of this. So since last year's final, Paddy Andrews has gone out, and Mick Fitzsimons has gone out, and who's come in has been Owen Merchant, who is only young, and Brian Howard is only young. So Dublin's team are all a year older, but their average age has come down by a year. Okay. So two lads that don't deserve to be dropped, but Jim Gavin's doing it, and that's what Cody, almost like so cutthroat, that the loyalty of what a player did for him, Cody doesn't care. He's thinking of what's for Kilkenny, not what's my relationship.
And it doesn't matter what you're doing last year.
Jim Gavin's cutthroat.
That's
the thing. But Brian, like you said, now I can't remember every year, but if there's a new face or two every year, it just refreshes it, or keeps someone on their toes.
It's a huge, huge thing. Look, it's very, very hard to do back to back. There's no point in saying everything, because if you win it one year, you're doing the same thing the following year. You think you're doing all the right things, but you can't do the same. You have to do more, and can up and up and up it again, because you have to say everyone were happy to see Galway winning last year. This year then you're kind of saying, oh, we'd love to see Limerick winning, because it's 45 years before, since they lost it. Last year, everyone was just a delight to see Galway win, because after breaking the duck there as well, like, you know, kind of, so you're up there to be knocked when you're after winning Ireland. The following year, referee decisions, everything, the small little things will always go against you, but you can't do the same as you'd done the year previously. You have to do more.
Right.
You have to another 10-15% more, because if you think you're doing the same thing, I can guarantee you talk to the Galway lads to do kind of, if they look honestly back on the year previously, or on this year gone, they'll actually say, yeah, I could have done more. the year before that, you asked them, no, I couldn't have done more. I left everyone out in the field. They didn't do it this year because they had that medal in their pocket and they think, right, this is going to, this is going to happen again.
The hunger's blunted, or you think?
It is, because you're doing the same. Like, if you won it last year, I'm going to do the same as last year, because that won it for me.
Your hunger wasn't blunted. So what's that, Brian Crowley?
We had to do more, like.
Right.
We had to do more. We weren't comfortable in our positions because you knew that there was a couple that's going to be, they're challenging you for your spot.
And Cody drop you if you played bad. Yeah. That's what Jim Gavin has as well.
It's a huge motivation for, it has to come from individual motivation, and you have to believe that he will drop you.
Yeah,
it's a huge thing, because you look over your shoulder, you have to believe that the lad 17 or 18 on his back, you are lucky to get that starting position, and if you don't play well, your man comes in, he's going to take your spot for the whole year, and you're going to be 17 or 18 and you're going to be sitting down watching the rest of the game. You have to believe that yourself to have that motivation to go on and win it, like, you know? So it's a huge thing.
And that's one thing, just quickly to finish up, is that if Kylie listens to this podcast and realises for next year, they have a squad to just drop one or two lads and make sure that that kind of culture is created with them.
You can't drop them for the sake of dropping them. It has to be a reason behind it. You know, kind of way the mentality is, right? I don't care who starts for the 15. Once Limerick win next year, that's the matter. I don't care who plays.
Yeah,
we have a method of play, and you've seen them. They stuck to their structure all year. They're through the lines, get the ball into the, give the ball to the best guy in the best position. He'll score, no issue whatsoever. Once Limerick win, I don't care, and he'll have to come back in next year and say, right, what we done last year, forget about it. This is kind of setting down the marker, and he done that this year as well. You see the Pearcy lads come back. They played a Club All Ireland final. And it took Mike Casey a long, long time to get on that team before. There's no, like, any other team, you say, the cool lads walk back on the Dublin team.
Yeah.
Any other kind of club team that's challenging for a club final will always come on to your county, but they didn't. John Kiley stuck with the guys that knew he could trust, because they were in the, they were playing that system. They got out of Division 1B, and that kind of bore fruit now for the rest of the championship.
That was good management, that.
He's
obviously done an awful lot of good things.
It wasn't very easy just to. But New Pearcy lads are back now.
Yeah.
They're hurling away with their club.
And they're winners, etc.
Let them back in and play, but he didn't, like.
Yeah, exactly. Right, okay, great stuff, lads. We'll come back with performance of the weekend.
Yeah, we do. We have a farm back home, so we have a big farm back home, and we have cattle and sheep, and we have a few donkeys as well. So we have a couple of filly donkeys. So I brought them down, and so we did, we actually sold them to, I think we had four donkeys on the day, and we sold them to a man from Wexford. So we did. So there's the piebald donkeys, so they are, and there's the traditional donkey, and there's the Spanish donkey, and then there's the
Spanish donkey.
You see them on the beaches and everything. So you can actually, one time the donkey was useless, right? But now some people have started to get back into them, because you can use them for headage. And it's used towards your, would say, your bonuses, your grants. A donkey in Eden, a donkey in Eden Palace.
All right, lads, Paddy Power performance the weekend. There's only one place to start, and that's Kyle Hayes. Only 20. Heard from him there at the start of the show. Man of the match in an All-Ireland, scores 4 points, made the Mulcahy goal. Damien's talking about his hook on Johnny Cohn, which is not springing to my mind, but there's no doubt, you know, like, he's got around the field and did an awful lot of work.
He's for the hook there as well,
But here's the thing I was reading this morning. Now, he was full forward for the Limerick Miners. Right, he's centre back for the Limerick Under 21s. He's centre forward, the senior All Ireland. Now, the way the game's gone so fluid, hurlers are hurlers now that can play nearly anywhere. They're all highly, highly skilled, so they're not like pigeonholed in one position, which is a great thing. But that's still some move around the field, and that's still some move around the field that you're dominating those positions. And you're like, he's only 20.
Yeah,
he's a child, and he stood up and was counted in the second half.
He's a huge man.
This lad's going to be a superstar.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. Like, what a performance though yesterday as well. Like, when Limerick needed him the most, 10 minutes after half time, he just took over the whole game. Himself and Seamus Flanagan, two of them had an unbelievable second half. But even in first half, he wanted ball. He was hungry for ball. He was chasing down. He was an outlet for Nicky Quay for the puck out there as well. Done everything. He had a perfect game, so he had absolutely brilliant. So yes.
And when I went out to City West there this morning, just before, when I was talking to him in an interview there, he was saying that he was just back from the pool.
Go ahead. Yeah,
so Galan was dying, Shane Dowling was dying, Kyle Hayes went for a recovery session in the pool the morning after an All-Ireland. Isn't this a different breed, JJ? Like, I mean, what's going on? Like, I mean, am I so old and farrowed?
I never done myself, will you, be honest?
No, but isn't that, that's the way these young lads think, Damien? Like, they're a different breed, these fellas.
Ah, oh, don't believe it. But just to tell you a story, Colm, I was sitting beside a Limerick lad yesterday and he recognised me, you know, and next thing Kyle Hayes was after scoring a great pint and I said, I clapping my hands, you know, and next thing he turned to me and he goes, why are you clapping your hands? Next thing I just started making out that Kyle Hayes was my first cousin. And I have to say here, we're absolutely no relation, right? But I started making out that he was my relation and next thing he goes, are you serious? Is he your age too? And I goes, oh, geez, he's a great bit of stuff. What's he like? What's, oh, I said, he's one of the nicest, most down to earth fellas that ever meet. Like this, you know, if Limerick win, I'll be delighted for him. Like this, and he goes, oh, jeez, boy, I'd be telling them all. No, he says, I was sitting beside you, Kyle Hayes' first cousin, boy, Jesus, great to meet you. Like, but I'm no relation to a man whatsoever. But look, I thought just yesterday, I liked an awful lot about him yesterday. He got scores, he took on the man, he was working hard for the team, he was competing in the air, he made a couple of mistakes, he drove a couple of wides, but he never let the head drop like this, and he was well deserving of his man the match. But he took the game to Galway from the very start, and even his work rate. Yeah, I'm a big fan of this guy. I remember him playing the All-Ireland final 2 years ago, because Galway were in the All-Ireland as well, so and I remember him, and he was a good talent that day as well at full forward. But a great bit of stuff. But the recovery session, no, I never did too many recovery sessions in the swimming pool after a match. Not
after an All-Ireland final, good God. Like, I mean, I just couldn't believe it. The next man is Declan Hannan, lads. Now, Declan Hannan, a little bit like Joe Canning does, like they went, you hurl one half and I'll hurl the other, because Hannan, like the first, it was his first or second point where he intercepted the ball, and like Jesus, great just ball, his yeah. momentum brought yeah. him forward, and that, and he celebrated that one.
Yeah,
and that was just like, we're here, there's another marker being laid. They laid down plenty of markers. Now, I don't know whether to hold it, Joe Canning's second half against Hannan, but he was dropping to good effect yeah. in the second half, even though Canning got a few scores.
Yeah, he was happy enough to do what he was doing, it to, you know what I mean? He was defending, I suppose at that stage you didn't want Galway scoring a goal, that's all yeah. we were thinking about that stage. But in fairness, you talk about Kyle Hayes, Declan Hannan has done a tour of the country as well for, yeah. for Limerick. He was centre forward, wing forward, midfield, but I think centre back's his natural position, but he loves spraying ball, and I think he's one of the outlets for the Limerick forwards as well. He just, when he hits in the ball that he wants coming in when he was a forward.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? A lot of lads, when they were playing up there, when they go back to the packs, they lump it high and long, but he doesn't do it. He hits into the forwards' advantages too. Like, but fabulous game. It was delight for Declan yesterday as well. He had a great game and fabulous hurler.
Fabulous hurler, and he's a great leader as well, obviously, in this team. And that's another great move from John Kiley, who put him back centre back. Now, I know he played Harty Cooper Schools at centre back, and he is natural there and can play there, but he hadn't played there for so long, Damien. That was another big call from John Kiley.
Yeah.
And like painting the picture.
That move,
yeah,
he made that move last year. See, yeah. The first time I really sat down and yeah. watched him was when Limerick played Kilkenny down in Nolan Park. Now, I know that Kilkenny beat him, but they only just about bet them really on the same day. But he scored 2 points from play and he had 1 wide. And I thought he, in the first half in particular, I thought he was unbelievable. But I will say this, Colm, about him, right? I thought he really came into the game. It was really like he lowered the blade and he really got out of himself in that last 8 minutes. He cleared a good bit of ball now in that last 8 minutes when they were under a lot of pressure. So he was, and he's a lovely striker of a ball. He loves to strike off his left. And as I said to you before, I was on an All-Star trip with him before, and so I was over in San Fran. I think you were on it as well, JJ. Yeah. He has matured unbelievably in the last couple of years. So he has, and maybe, as you said, maybe centre back. There was a stage like he couldn't make the team there for Limerick. So there was, and he went to centre back, and he's the captain and he's their leader now. And the lads seem to respond to him, and look at. It was an unbelievable day, but he's an unbelievable game himself, to be fair. He scored 2 points in All-Ireland final from centre back, and also drive 1 wide in the first half. It was a great performance.
Did he suffer from a bit of inconsistency in the forwards, JJ, in that sometimes he'd shoot the lights out, all the spotlight would be on him the next day, and then he's not able to do it, but yeah. now he's consistently in the game all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, he's in
now.
The game all the time, yes. But I think we played him in semi-final in 2014, and he scored 4 or 5 points. It was a real wet day in Greencroft Park.
Yeah.
He had a brilliant game centre forward, I think, as well that day, you know. He's a natural hurler, a natural striker. He's very, very good at right or left. But I think just attacking the ball, he's a lot better. Like, you know, in the last 10 minutes against Cork, he came into the game phenomenally, and that he was one of the reasons that Limerick went on and actually got his extra time down, more than anything, you know. But yeah, fabulous hurler. But again, I don't know if you want to mention him, but kind of fullbacks union here, and Mike Casey had a brilliant
game. No, I have him down here, don't worry about
right,
that.
Right, we'll get on to him, will we?
We'll get on to him in a second, because Joe Canning is the next one I have on my list here. So he scores 110, lads. He nearly did it on his own. Yeah. Do you know,
except for Joe Sacconi, that was brilliant.
Yeah,
very,
yeah,
very good.
And, but do you know, it was at the stage where they were nine down and Joe get a point, and he'd look back the field and try to rally them up, and you're almost thinking, Jesus, Joe, like, I mean, that's not going to do much good at this stage.
Yeah.
But like, Joe believed we can get back into this, do you know, and it worked out that they did get back into
self-belief
it.
Self-belief is a huge thing, you know, and especially when you see one of your top players, if you're a cornerback or fullback, and you see Joe kind of boosting everyone up after a great score as well, they're saying, right, next ball we're kind of trying to win it, like, you know. But he had a phenomenal second half again, like, you know, and it's not the first time that Joe's doing it. He had a brilliant year as well, like, you know, against Clare. Whenever Clare got the goal, Joe was always go to a man for the Galway team there as well. He won a lot of ball and he won all the scores, and even the 65 he struck near the end, he just hit up, and like, I swear it was not, it was a hard score to get, like, you know, the 65.
Oh, 65s are just almost gimmies with him, aren't they?
Yeah, you take for granted, you know what I mean?
He's not lashing them even, is he?
No, he's just flicking the ball and it's going 60, 65 yards over the bar. But even just the time, the game, the pressure on, he had to score that 65, and it was a phenomenal score as well, like, you know. It was just the last three was just a bit too far out now, you know.
Damien, I don't know if you noticed this, but there was a couple of sideline balls that were in his range and David Burke took them. Did you notice that? There was one under the Cusick stand in the first half. I was surprised that Joe wouldn't have taken it.
And it didn't work out.
Yeah.
You know, I whether they had this planned, I think David Burke sidelined it fast to Whelan, and it didn't work out. But yeah, I was surprised. I was surprised with that, but as we were just saying, look, Joe in his second half in particular, his last 20 minutes was phenomenal. He scored 110 in All-Ireland final, which can't be sniffed at either, you know, and he scored 3 points from play, you know. And look, at as I said, it was, if he got the last three, you know, it's like Anton, it would have went to a draw. It was just unfortunate. It was a little bit too far out. I thought it was interesting Eddie Brennan saying if he stood over it, he would have had a better chance of pinted, which maybe had a pint.
What did he mean? Sorry, I'm not a hurling man now. What does that mean?
Okay, he said that he ran up to the ball, but what I took from it was, when you run up from the ball, maybe your strike has to be on the button, where if he stood over it, like if he was taking an ordinary feed, that he might have got a cleaner strike at the ball.
Okay.
But it was an awful distance out.
It's tough for power road.
Look at he can't be faulted. We'll put it like that. He can't be faulted, and but yeah, he had another great season this year, and every season now is going to be getting a little bit harder. So it was just unfortunate, we'll say, that Galway didn't win the All-Ireland, but we won't begrudge Limerick. They deserved their win on the day.
Yeah, I don't want to get into Hurler of the Year talk and stuff, because there's too much to talk about the actual match, and plus we have the Woolley Awards coming up in about a month's time. So, but listen, Joe Canning is Hurler of the Year for me. Like, I mean, he nearly getting it last year when maybe he didn't really deserve it might count against him, ironically, the year. I think he does deserve it. I think he's absolutely the Hurler of the Year. When you look back on every game, he's been the main driving force, man of the match awards all over the place. Like, I think he's the standout. I'm not sure how you can make an argument against Joe Canning personally.
The biggest argument you can make is that he got it last year, which is it's wrong. Like, you're wrong to be saying it. You know, like,
but he's player of the year, though, is he? JJ, would you agree? I know Matt.
He's up there. He's definitely the debater for it. Paddy Mannion is up there as well. Like, you know, I think he had a phenomenal year again.
Yeah. Weirdly, Mannion deserved it last year.
Yeah. Well, needs must then as well. Though, you see him yesterday when Kyle Hayes is going, well, what to do? Paddy Mannion in centre back. You know, like, in a way, he was again. When Richie Hogan was going well, Paddy Gwenny went in centre back on Richie Hogan's side. So whenever they have pressure on, who's the guy to go to Galway all the time is Paddy Gwenny. You know, he's a fabulous year again, like, you know. So between him and Graham McCatty, he's in for a shout as well, like, you know.
For a shout,
Aaron Gillan's in for a shout there as well. So there's no probably Sandor County or.
See, Gillan got sent off and missed a game. He's probably not in the mix, didn't he? Dowling came in, so he missed two games. Although there's enough now, there's so many games you can miss them.
Yeah. He played six games, you know, like, you know, whereas lads got it, but then played four games before and then got a deer, you know. Like,
that's
anyway.
True, yeah. Okay, right. Well, Graham McCatty and Flanagan I have down on the list as well, but we've spoken a little bit about them. Mike Casey then, lads, he only lasted 48 minutes. But he put any idea of the concern out of people's heads, and he didn't try to catch one ball with Johnny. He borderline legal now. You'll say it's legal because you're a full back.
Yeah.
But he used his body to not let Glynn get a run on a at a ball. So if, unless Glynn was standing right under it, Casey was blocking him trying to get, you know what I mean? He was doing smart stuff for a fullback, but never contested any of them with him.
I'd say my Casey was probably marking the likes of Kevin Downs, maybe in training for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Big man, 6'3", 6'4", big guy. He was just trying to spoil him as much as possible. I'd say they've done a lot of work on it, but fairness to my Casey, like, the motivation he had come into this game, the whole country was talking much on Glynn. Who's going to handle him? How can I handle him? My Casey can't handle him. Everyone was talking about the whole situation. Was massive motivation going into the thing. But I had to admire him. Like, he stood up to the count and he was injured coming off, but he didn't want to come off as well. Like, you know, he wanted to stay on and play the game, but fabulous game for Mike Casey. Brilliant game. Brilliant fullback display.
John Kiley said he was probably under most pressure of all the players because of the amount of commentary that was on his matchup with Johnny Glynn. It's as good a performance on Johnny Glynn. Like, Johnny Glynn, Damien, was moved out to wing forward after 25 minutes because the first three or four balls went into him. He wasn't at the races. Then when he went out wing forward, he caught one immediately and set up a point. So that just puts it into context.
So just explain this for viewers again, right? Casey's a small man and Johnny Glynn's a bigger man, right? Well, and I've seen it. This was a complete tactical thing, right? And what I just can't think of his name. What's he called, the sub fullback to come on?
Richie McCarthy.
Yeah, Richie McCarthy, right. Okay, so what happened was balls were coming into Johnny, right? And coming in. And Casey was working off his catching hand. JJ will explain this better, right? So Johnny Glynn holds the hurl in his left hand and he catches the ball with his right hand. So basically what Johnny Glynn wants is he wants Casey to be standing on his left-hand side where his left hand is, right? But Casey never did that. When the ball was coming in, Casey was working off his catching hand every time not to allow him to catch it. But also what he did a couple of times, and so did McCarthy when he came in fullback, he let the ball break through, right? And I knew then behind him that the goalkeeper was going to collect the ball. They let the ball break through. So, and the first option was not to let him catch the ball. That was it. And he done it successfully. And he was out in front of Johnny. And he got his few balls and everything. And he was probably hugely motivated. He knew he was under pressure, but he had a great game. But the whole idea was stand on the catching hand. So when the ball is breaking, that you're working off the catching hand if you're going batting, not working off the wrong side. And the great example of trying to explain is Johnny Glynn on David McInerney in the semi-final. David McInerney was on the wrong side and Johnny caught it and turned and swung with one hand back of the net. So, but Casey never caught in any of that regard, and he had a fine game in fairness. I felt sorry for him that he went off. It looked like he twisted his ankle or something like that, but he had an absolutely brilliant game.
He had a brilliant game. And okay, is that, so technically you wouldn't go to his catch in hand if you wanted to catch it, but if he had decided I'm not even going to try to catch it, he was able to come around on the wrong side.
He was playing his hand. He was making sure that he wasn't going to catch the ball, which would be a huge psychological boost for even Johnny Glynn or the Galway team as well. When high balls come in, he catch it, the whole thing comes in.
But why would fullbacks not do that in Johnny Glynn more often, or do they try to do it? Like, I mean, that would seem more
sense to me. They might back themselves to catch the ball over him, you know, right, in a way. You know, you're always kind of, you're all confident enough in your own ability to say, right, I'm going to.
So what would you do then on Johnny Glynn?
Catch it,
would you? you were good at catching it. It was all timing.
But you look at Aaron Galan as well. Just watch Aaron Galan then. Colm catches the ball with his left hand because he holds the hurl in his right hand, right? Yeah. And he caught two balls again yesterday, where basically what he's doing is he sees the flight of the ball, he's getting on the left hand side of his marker, right? And he might be even nudging him with his right shoulder, so where the ball is coming into his left hand where he's not being tattled. And it happened yesterday, right? Where that's what Johnny Glynn would always be trying to catch it. So Casey knew that he wasn't going to be able to compete with him in the air. So what he did was he went working off his catching hand and didn't allow him to catch the ball. And it was interesting, as you said, when Johnny Glynn went out wing forward, right? I think he went up for the first high ball with Morrissey. He caught the ball because Morrissey maybe wasn't on the right side of him, or maybe he tried to catch it himself. But Casey was well tuned in. He knew what he had to do. Maybe the management set him down and also showed him, you know, the cute things that you can do just to win the ball or let the ball through and have. And look, there's no better man to let you know about what the cute of what to do in full back than JJ there to let you know. But it's all, you work off the catch in hand if you do not want your man to catch the ball. Column, that's
where
it works.
Morrissey's a bigger man than Mike Casey, but he caught the ball straight over his head, like, you know what I mean? But obviously, what Damien said is 100% right. Like, he was just trying to, he had no interest in getting the ball himself. Spoil the ball. Sure, why wouldn't he? Like, you know what I mean?
He backed himself.
Yeah,
he backed himself on the ground. Yeah. But not. Yeah, he bracked himself on the ground, but not in the air.
Jeez, absolutely. It just sounds clever. Like, I mean, it's a no-brainer. Like, I mean, whether it was Kiley or whether it was Connacher or whether it was his own decision how to play a Glynn, say it was probably a collective decision, and he was given that advice that, like, I mean, it's absolutely perfect.
But Colm, that's one of the big things I've noticed, right? And maybe, JD, you can comment on this as well, but the one of the big things I've noticed in the game in the last maybe 3, 4, 5 years is all about the tackling. Right, and for me to explain this on the tackling is, it's when, just say a man gets the ball and he's coming in, it's almost they're bringing the football tackle into the hurling, but it's hand in, hand out, hand in, hand out, hand in. So you're tackling with your hand in, hand out, where you can't be caught for holding. Right, and another prime example is when a lad soling with the ball and you're trying to catch him, you're pulling him back, but you're letting go. You're pulling him back and you're letting him go. And a great example of that is, you had Aidan Hart running after Tony Kelly in the semi-final replay, and Aidan Hart was pulling him back, but he was hand in, hand out, half a second in, half a second out, pulling him back, you know. So the tackle has gone so important. And then you take a corner forward to get the ball, when he rises the ball and he turns and he goes to go turn his man, you often see all the top cornerbacks, they get in the tackle first to put him on his back foot straight away, so that he's lost momentum straight away, where he can't drive off with power. The tackle now has gone unbelievable. And then we're just after saying the cuteness thing in the air, you work off the catch in hand if you don't want your man to catch the ball. It's actually gone, the tackle now has gone unbelievable. One time used to go training and it used to be all ball work and long striking and first touch, where I'd say there's 50 or 60% of training at inter-county level now is all emphasis now is all on the tackle and the work rate and all that, but the work rate is all the tackle.
Yeah, no, they do. They have to tackle the man a little bit more just to stop him up a little bit, and then he might turn back rather than stay going.
You're driving him back.
That's you. Listen, it's time to pick a winner here, lads. So we did a poll, and sometimes I go along with the poll. Mike Casey, fullback Union JJ's at the bottom on 11%. Very, very interestingly, Joe Canning and Declan Hannan are at 25% each. So they marked each other and they got identical. Yeah, so funny, maybe it was first half Declan, second half Joe. The winner here, which I'm not going to dispute, is Kyle Hayes on 39%. Absolutely outstanding, brilliant stuff, delighted for him. Like, I mean, like I said, he's going to be an absolute superstar. He is at 20 years of age. Think of what you were like at 20 years of age. Imagine winning an All-Ireland for your team at 20 years of age. And he got that point against Cork, the equalising point down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh as well. Like, I mean, he's 20, he's only a child, and he looks like a child as well, and he goes to the pool the morning after an All-Ireland. Like, we're all screwed. The game's changed, lads.
Don't want to play the game anymore.
And Colin, we have to remember that, as you said, he's only 20, that the man is going to develop into a way bigger man in the next couple of years as well. So he's going to be ploughing through defences at centre forward as well.
He will. You know,
so he's going to get even bigger and stronger.
He will, he will. He's going to be an absolute sensation.
Only hope he'll back centre back in a few years' time.
and he's not a relation of mine.
Right, lads, great stuff. That's always time for. Thanks for everything today and all year as well. We're going to let you back to your clubs there now, lads. You can,
and we're free to go back to clubs, aren't we?
We'll talk to you in February for the league next year. Thanks very much. And we'll talk to you again. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
The GA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power. For exclusive content from their GA ambassadors and other high-profile contributors, check out news.paddypower.com.